When it comes to God's Word, the question of the hour, do we know a lot of facts about the Bible? Do we read it out of duty sometimes? You go, yeah. My encouragement to you and to me, we all fall into that similar pattern. But instead of chalking this up to just another Bible study, let's do this. Tonight, go, Pastor, I am purposing to change. I'm going to allow the Word of God to read me and transform my life. That's what I want to do. In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount upon eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Welcome back to In Christ Radio and the Hope Restored series. As we conclude Nehemiah chapter 8, we've watched the people hunger for God's Word, stand in reverence, and listen attentively. Now we witness what every pastor and every believer longs to see, a genuine response to God's truth. Today's message is titled, Our Response to God's Word. When God's Word is clearly understood, it demands a response. For Israel, that response included tears of repentance, joy in God's forgiveness, generosity towards others, and a renewed obedience through celebrating the Feast of Booths. Notice the progression. They heard, they understood, they believed, and then they obeyed. James would later write, Be doers of the word, not hearers only. Nehemiah 8 shows us exactly what that looks like. God never gave us his word merely to increase our knowledge. He gave it to transform our lives. The measure of a spiritual maturity isn't how much scripture we know. It's how faithfully we live those scriptures. Every encounter with God's word leaves us with a choice. We can either walk away unchanged, or we can allow God to transform us through obedience. So let's ask, if someone observed your life for a week, would they see evidence that God's Word is shaping your decisions, your relationships, and your priorities? If you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 18 in today's lesson, Our Response to God's Word. Here's Pastor Ben.
The Word of God was doing its intended work. And you go, what's that? Again, 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us two things the Word of God is. What's that? Profitable for reproof and correction. So as Ezra begins to read the Word, as he begins to teach the Bible, as people are listening with this great hunger in their lives, all of a sudden they're being reproved. There's some correction. Hello? Hello? You understand that? Isn't that what God's Word does? You're walking in life and what do we do? Lord, I blew it. I missed it. I can't believe that. Okay. Let me correct this. You see, but as we grow in God's word and the closer we walk to Jesus, come on, somebody, this is where we weep in God's word. You see, church, if we're being honest, sometimes it hurts to be reproved and to be corrected. And tears were evidence of some of that pain. The second reason I found is it does hurt when you want to know the word more than you want to know about it. Listen, I have gotten in debates with people who knew the word of God better than I did. They knew scripture, they knew verses, they knew it, but they didn't know my Jesus. And when you come into your prayer closet and you come into your room and you get into your quiet time chair, whatever it is, and you begin to look at the sweetness of God's word. We're not trying to break it down, Old Testament, New Testament. Well, this was written in Greek, and that's in Aramaic, and this is in Hebrew. Just coming with an open heart saying, God, speak to me through your word. What do you have for me? How can I glorify you more in my life? Come on, somebody. What's missing in my heart that I've let go to the side? Or what is it? And so the people here begin to weep, and they begin to cry, And the Levites who taught the people, they said to the people, hey, this day is holy unto the Lord. He says, don't mourn or weep. Don't cry. Pastor Ezra, Governor Nehemiah, the Levites, they didn't want the people to mourn, even though it's a good thing to be sad under the conviction of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Okay? Let me help you out here, guys. Let me help you out. There's a big difference between the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the guilt that the enemy puts on you. If you walk away something feeling guilty, that's not God. If you walk away with conviction, even though you're sad, oh, I'm broken. I can't believe this. It's a work of God's Holy Spirit through the Word of God, through the Word of God, through the Word of God. Why? Because you're looking at this and you're reading it. And if it was for me, not you, me, if I were to look in the Word of God, I would have to ask myself, Ben, when was the last time you wept over God's Word in your life? When? It was the other day, and I don't know, it probably has this. Nathalie, you'll have to correct me on this if it's not, but the one thing that Nathalie wanted from her grandmother was her Bible. And the other day, her mom gave her grandma's Bible, and I bet, and you can help me, there were probably tear stains on there, wasn't there? Yeah. I mean, imagine looking through your Bible, and there's just tear stains and notes, people you're praying for as God spoke to you. Because that's what he's going to do. You're reading the Word of God, and he's going to bring someone to your memory. Hey, you need to pray for so-and-so. Oh, let me write it right here. So Pastor Ezra reminds them. He says, hey, guys, listen, hold on. Don't cry. He says, here's what I want you to do instead. You ready? After the Bible study, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to those whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Think about this. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Even when we're convicted of sin, we know that God is doing a work in us so that so we can be glad and take joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And this is an amazing response to God's word. This is amazing. You go, what can we glean from this? Here's what he says, always for you and I. You ready? He says, remember the poor. He says, share with what you have. And he says, the second thing is rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord and he'll give you the strength. Let me say this to you and me. Every one of us in this room will go through tough times. Every one of us will go through health crises. Come on, somebody. Every one of us are going to go through a difficult season. But we must remember to rejoice in the Lord. That's where the strength comes from. And so he's saying, in response to God's word, are we remembering the poor? Are we sharing with what we have? Then he goes on in verse 11. He says, so the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people, what did they do? They went their way, eat and drink, send portions, and rejoice greatly. Why? Because they understood the words that were declared to them. I know that we haven't been in God's word, Ezra says. I know. Listen, we just finished the temple, Ezra. Thank you, Pastor Ezra. We just finished the walls. Now we're able to rejoice. And here's God's word. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, we've missed it. We've blown it. My question to you, church, my question to me really quick is, if you knew Jesus was right around the corner, if you knew he was coming back in 2026, would your life change any? You would. Because you'd sit there and go, you know what? I'm not going to sweat all that small stuff. I'm going to focus on walking closer to Jesus. Because the enemy's tool, come on, somebody, the enemy's tool is to get us so busy that we forget the Lord's coming back and he's using us and he's growing us. There's been some fights. And so the Levites go, okay, listen, rejoice. And this is what I say on Sunday morning. God's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. Rejoice. Enjoy. And all the people went and they all ended up at Rosa's after service. This is where we're going. Okay, everybody, we're going to Rosa's. And we're just going to eat and drink and we're going to send portions. And we all understood God's word. And we all said, amen. Amen. Now, I want you to know, they went away praising God because understanding God's word brings such a sweet sense of joy. You ever get that? I get it. Oh, now let me say this to you, because this is true. Come on, somebody. This is true. You will have read a passage of scripture 100 times. And one day you're praying, you ask God this, and he'll illuminate something on there. And you're like, oh my, wow. And it brings such joy. No way. And that's what it does. It brings a sense of joy. When I, this past Sunday, I was honored to teach a Bible study at Raider Ranch Church. the residents there, they come and they have church and we sing hymns and it's beautiful. And I teach about a 20 to 25 minute message, which I know is impossible. It's God's grace, because I'm like, my introductions are 25 minutes. Are you kidding me? How am I going to get through all of this? And when I was done, I went back and I was visiting, and one of the ladies came up to me and she looked at me. She said, oh, she told me how much she enjoyed the message. And then she looked at me and she goes, I don't think enjoy is the right word. And I said, what you most likely meant is God spoke to you and you walked away with a good understanding and a sweet sense of joy. We just say that. Oh, I enjoyed the message. I enjoyed you, Pastor. I get that all the time. I enjoyed that, Pastor. Well, it's, wait, I got it. The joy came from Jesus. And I saw that here, because when the people understood the word of God, and the word that I preached to them on Sunday afternoon was peace in the midst of chaos, peace in the midst of chaos. And I had one lady tell me that, you know, she had grandsons in the hospital and he's fighting illnesses and such and such. And the one lady that sat next to me, she kept talking we. And so I asked her if she had a husband. And of course, she began to cry because her husband had passed. There was no we. And I'm thinking, who's the we? And I said, do you have any children? And she's never had any children. And that's when I go, okay, I need it. Because people are, they're there for a reason. They want to hear God's word. Verse 13. Now on the second day, the heads of the father's house and all the people, with the priests and the Levites, what they do? They gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. Now, this is important to remember. Why? Here's why. Let me give you a different translation. The next day, the heads of the clans, together with the priests and the Levites, went to Ezra to study the teachings of the law. Okay? So it wasn't Pastor Ezra who did all the work. He began to pour into the leaders. You see, leaders have to have that special understanding to walk in God's word. Here's why. Their ignorance and disobedience affects more than themselves. It affects everyone they have influence on. It wasn't enough for Pastor Ezra to get up and go, okay, here's God's word. I'm the only one. Okay. You guys remember Moses. Moses comes to mind, right? He couldn't do it all. And Jethro's like, yo, Mo, come here, bro. Listen, you need help. And here's why. This is why I look for people that I can pour into to teach them. This is why I look at people and I watch their lives, making sure they're mature. Here's why. Because they affect everyone they have influence on. Oh, Pastor, why can't I be a pastor? I've been here 2 weeks. No, you can't be a pastor. You've been at Calvary 2 weeks. We're going to watch you. We're going to see if your life is mature. Why? Because you represent the word of God. That's a tough lesson to learn. Listen, the guys in leadership here, Pastor Soph has been with me 21 and a half years. I think we've watched him enough. I think you're all right, Soph. You're all right. Joseph, God, I think it's 10 years, isn't it, Joe? 10 years he came walking up there and going to tell me a thing or two, and we watched him. Adam's been with us 8 years or so, and this is why, guys, because again, and then others that were bringing in, watching them, praying, pouring into them. This is what Nehemiah is telling us. Now, back in our text, the scene changes a little bit as they study God's word further. They came across something that they had missed. It was the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this is what they're going to come, but we're going to move pretty fast through this, and you'll see why. Look at verse 14. And here they are studying, and they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. Your attention, please. I want you to look at verse 14. It's very important. Here's why. Because they found, as Ezra was teaching them, that the Lord commanded by Moses that the children of Israel, this was not us, this was not Gentiles, this was the children of Israel. And here's why. You're going to see that there are times that God gives commands to Israel. Now, we can honor the feast of booths, but we have to realize, okay, what should they do? Verse 15, and they should announce and proclaim to their cities in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountains, bring forth all the branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches of leafy trees, to make booths as it is written. And now, I want you to see something. This is what they've learned. Hey, guys, here's what we learned. And so they're sitting there going, oh, we haven't kept the feast. Okay, So he tells them, go out. Now, the one thing I want you to write down, and I think it's important for us to learn, and it's really, really beautiful. You ready? It was simple obedience. Simple obedience. They read it in the Word of God, and they said, amen. Okay, let's go. Their attitude that God said it, so we'll do it, was so beautiful. Even though tradition did not tell them to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, it hadn't been done since the days of Joshua, but they relied on God's word and not on tradition. And you go, really, what was the point? It's really simple. You go, what's that? Simple obedience. Simple obedience. Wait, we're supposed to? Okay. If the Bible tells us today, what have we learned? That we need to help the poor? Okay. Lord, show me. Okay. Okay, Lord. So what did the people do? Verse 16, and the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house or in a courtyard or in the courts of the house of God and in the open square of the water gate and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. And so the whole assembly of those who had returned from captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. And there was a very great gladness. Can you imagine? They just did it. They did. And there they are. It reminded them, guys, the Feast of Booths reminded them of their ancestors when they came out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt and they were on from the Exodus and they were out there. And it's like wilderness for what? 40 years. It wasn't tradition. Oh, this is what we need to do. And it says there was a very great gladness. A great gladness. Why? Because of their great obedience to God's word, there was a very great gladness. There are times when I read the Bible out of duty, I'm being honest, and I walk away not very glad. It's a check mark. Okay, I read it. Amen. You're the pastor, go. But when I obey and I read it out of desire and I see that, oh, like the children of Israel, I walk away glad. Praise God. And let me just add this little point. Whenever you read your word, when you have a hunger for God's word, and you do it out of a beautiful desire just to please and love Jesus, I guarantee you God uses what you've read and you've studied that day somewhere else. Someone comes to you and is like, well, and you go, you won't believe this. I was just reading and I needed that. Wow. And you're like, thank you, Lord. Can we do that again? And I know God uses, he always uses. You go, well, yeah, Ben, that doesn't happen. But there are times that I'm listening to a sermon and you'll be speaking about something or the guy on the radio will be speaking about something. And then God uses that later. And then sometimes he doesn't. And it's just for me. And it's like, wow. He goes on in verse 18 and says, also day by day, from the first day until the last, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And in the eighth day, there was a sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. Do you guys see that? Here's what God's word said. Revival began by the Holy Spirit working through the word of God. Do you see it? What's our response to God's word? What's our response? Well, first and foremost, I want a greater hunger for God's word. I want a greater hunger. I want it to be my all in all. Pastor Ed Taylor was telling us this back in October, that when he first got saved, all the songs that he used to listen to when he first got saved, all the Maranatha songs and the ones that had come out back in the 80s, he actually went back and started listening to all of those again to stir up that hunger that he once had. Nothing wrong, he said, with today's worship. Nothing wrong with the songs we're singing. He just went back. And I think that's a great idea to go back to where, all the songs we cut our teeth on, just knowing the word of God, the worship, go back. But again, think about this. They went back to the word. Think about the word of God when you went back. What was the first book you ever read? Oh, first book I ever taught was the book of Joshua. Oh, I love going back to Joshua because that's the first book I ever taught. And I dig deeper and it's like, oh, did you see this? You see, revival begins how? By the Holy Spirit working through the word of God. And now let me say this, okay? If you're hungry for the word of God and you honor the word of God, okay? And you have a reverence for the Word of God and you understand the Word of God, then let's do this. Let's take a big circle and just draw it on the floor. Big circle right there. And then step in that circle and ask God to revive everything in that circle. The worship is already there, but you already have God's Word. So revival starts with you. Pastor Khan used to tell us, just burn on fire for the Lord and people will drive for miles around just to watch you burn. Just be on fire for the Lord. Be on fire. Praying, seeking, loving, all of this stuff. Now, as we close and we land this plane, when it comes to God's Word, my question, the question of the hour, do we know a lot of facts about the Bible? Do we read it out of duty sometimes? You go, yeah. My encouragement to you and to me, we all fall into that similar pattern. But instead of chalking this up to just another Bible study, let's do this. Tonight, go, Pastor, I am purposing to change. I'm going to allow the Word of God to read me and transform my life. That's what I want to do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Father, your Word tonight is amazing. Our response to your Word, unbelievable. It's holy. It reproves. It corrects. It encourages. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, when we just take you for granted. Father, in Nehemiah's day, they were hungry. They were obedient. That's our prayer. Before even looking at chapter 9, that's our prayer. Our prayer is to be obedient and to be hungry and to be loving and to glorify you. Every word out of our mouth, a word of encouragement, a word of love, a word of blessing. There is none greater or loving. There is nothing in this world that's better than you, Lord. And I think it's time we come back and taste and see the goodness of God. Step into that realm, God. Step into that realm, people, and ask God to just revive us. Revive us, O Lord. If we need to go back to that place where we once fell, where we go back to that place where we were on fire for the Lord, what were we doing? How were we reading? Were you sleeping with your Bible under your pillow? What was it? What were you doing? What have you taken for granted? What have you pushed away? Oh, Lord, revive us. Revive us, oh Lord. We're asking God for one more great awakening in our world, to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to depopulate hell and populate heaven, to quit playing church, to start being the church, to walk in obedience, to walk in love, to not judge people, but to walk with them to a place where they're living victorious. Thank you, God, that you're not holding our sins against us, our past against us, but you've covered us by your blood, and you've given us a second, third, fourth, 15th, 20th chance, Lord. And so, Lord, let that be our anthem, Lord, moving forward. Our response to your Word, hallelujah, amen. Amen. In Christ.
Next time on the Hope Restored series, we'll come to one of the greatest prayers of confession in all of Scripture. In Nehemiah chapter 9, we'll discover that when God's people honestly remember His faithfulness and confess their failures, restoration continues. Join us as we begin Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, with the message titled, The Greatness of God. That brings us to the end of this episode of In Christ. Thank you for tuning in as we go verse by verse through Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king in the Persian palace and is in the same time of Ezra. Nehemiah leads the third and last return to Jerusalem after the Babylonian exile, and his concern for the welfare of Jerusalem and its inhabitants prompts him to take bold action. Granted permission to return to his homeland, Nehemiah challenges his countrymen to arise and to rebuild the shattered wall of Jerusalem. In spite of opposition from without and abuse from within, the task is completed in only 52 days, a feat even the enemies of Israel must attribute to God's enabling. By contrast, the task of reviving and reforming the people of God within the rebuilt walls demands years of Nehemiah's godly life and leadership. So be sure to join us next time as we continue to dive in to the wonderful character of Nehemiah, how he cared about traditions past, the needs of the present, but also the hopes for the future. We look forward to seeing you in the next one. If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com. Remember, wherever you are and whatever you're doing, God wants to be a part of your life.